Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. All with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a great service department. They take care of routine inspections, diagnostics, you name it. They can handle it. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Devin Booker's probably not going to play the two games in New Orleans. Tight hamstring. Last night, the Suns lost to the Pels, and that series is now tied at a game apiece in our play-by-play call of the day.
It's off to Jones, quick feed, corner three. Ingram got it!
And it's on the floor now for Valanciunas. A little bit more nimble going against DeAndre Ayton.
Ingram with a long shot. It's a three, and he kills it. Now clearly they are running off the clock, approaching two. Shot clock at seven. It's McCollum. And Ingram with a spinner over Johnson. Got it again!
Yep, Kevin Harlan with a call on TNT with Reggie Miller last night. Ingram had 37 points. You know, the guy they acquired for Anthony Davis? Playing well. Series tied at a game apiece. It's too early to talk about the Indy 500?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yeah, it's... You still have a lot of practices to go, and you got that road course race. You're funny.
Huh? What?
Listen, the way the Phillies are playing, I should talk about the Indy 500 right now.
Could be worse. Garrett Cole could be your ace. All right.
Always finding the bright side.
Guy makes more money than the Orioles payroll. And that's not a joke. That's not a joke. Makes more money than the Orioles or the Pirates payroll.
Wow.
Right. But, I mean, really, the four outs he got last night were big. All right, so...
Hey, the Phillies just scored a run! That's breaking news! The Phillies scored a run! Sorry, the sarcasm's coming out today. It's been a couple of weeks of watching baseball.
The problem they have more than the scoring runs is they're not getting good starting pitching.
No.
And that's really been a crusher for them so far.
But if you went into this season, looking at this lineup, the first thing you would say
they'll
score runs. So the fact that the pitching is mediocre maybe at best, you should be able to get a couple of wins. Yeah, a couple is a key word in this last week and a half.
So bitter. It's April.
I know.
It's too early for the Indy 500. Instead, you got to put up with a road course where he takes the lead in the first 100 yards. We're done.
No. You're talking done, F1 finish, now.
Done. Same thing. No difference.
Do you know what was it? Last year I read somewhere there were four guys that won F1 races. Just four.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
In fact, I think that's a record for the season. All right.
Probably true.
Let's turn our attention now to Penn State Athletics. The Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics at Penn State, Sandy Barber. Sandy, first of all, welcome. Thanks so much for your time today.
Good afternoon, Steve. Always wonderful to connect.
Well, let's start with this. Obviously, you are somebody, and I know this for a fact, that have great respect for your predecessors here at Penn State. Everybody wants to, when it comes time, to leave the situation better than when they took it. I can assure everybody, as somebody who's been here, you've done exactly that. What has your staff meant to you over this time to help you to get to a point of transition where it is better than when you took the job?
Well, Steve, I mean, they've been incredible. We all know nobody does anything alone. And as a matter of fact, the engine behind all of this has been what we refer to as our one team. And I've had the privilege to have inherited a great team. A lot of folks that have been dedicated for a long time to Penn State and doing what's right for Penn State and our students and our community. And then over the course of 8 years, we've had the opportunity to bring some new folks to State College who have become just as dedicated and passionate Penn Staters. And we've worked to stay up with the times, maybe modernize some things in ways that are appropriate for Penn State, make sure that we maintain all of the traditions that are important to our community, our alumni, teach them to each generation of students and student athletes that come in, and maintain what's special about Penn State, but at the same time continue to evolve, because we know that that the students we serve, those 17 to 22 year olds, they're different today than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and certainly 30 and 40 years ago. And so that's where we need to keep pace. We need to evolve. Although we have a very dedicated and long-time fan base, there is some evolution there. So we need to keep up with what's important to them and what will keep them coming and supporting. That is really one of Penn State's most treasured points of difference. So it's on a lot of levels, but certainly the things that have always been important to Penn State: character development, the academic performance of our student athletes, and then of course winning on the field, court, pool, track, mat, whatever it is. Those are things I think that we've had an opportunity to maintain.
Obviously an individual national championship in pommel horse, a team national championship in wrestling, but also over your time, the graduation rate of the student athletes at Penn State is now at 92%. What does that number mean to you?
Yeah, that one's special, and I'll tell you why. So that 92 is the second year in a row that we've had an NCAA graduation success rate, what's referred to as the GSR, mm-hmm. At 92. When we achieved it a year ago, that was an all-time record. We've matched that for this latest set of data. And, it would be one thing to say you set an all-time record at a place that, maybe had not been very good and,
right.
and you reached 80% or something. Penn State has always been good, historically. I mean, me growing up in Maryland, I knew that about Penn State. I knew that Penn State athletics took the academic piece very, very seriously, and that they were always very good. So to have the opportunity to be at Penn State, to be leading the athletic department at a time when we set the all-time record at a place that has always been known to be really good, that's pretty special.
No question. Absolutely special. Facilities have obviously been important, and Panzer, of course, being built, Morgan, of course, everything has been done with facilities. What has, the dedication that's been needed on the fundraising side to make that possible so that you can get, the facilities into the 2020s, 2030s, and beyond?
Yeah, that's Steve, something, Penn State has always had good facilities. I think over time, we fell behind a little bit. And as costs have continued to rise and frankly, the price of success, certainly in football and the basketballs, but also, you know, I mean, look at the kinds of resources we put in to our two ice hockey programs as
yes.
we brought those on as varsity sports. You know, we're very proud of the fact that we sponsor 31 sports. There are not many, certainly not many public institutions in this country that do that. And I think that is a very important and very point of pride, point of difference for us. But that comes at a cost.
Yes.
And certainly when we're competing against some other school that may only be sponsoring 20 programs, or the NCAA minimum for Division I is 14. And we obviously are exceedingly above that, and that is not an inexpensive proposition. And so some schools that have the opportunity to take their television revenues and put them towards debt service for facilities, we're putting those towards real programs,
right?
Towards supporting many of our non-revenue programs. And so certainly we're going to look from a we have to look from a philanthropy standpoint to our fans and to our base and to our donors to help support these facilities. And they have. You mentioned the Morgan Center. I mean, there was a great support there. That was the first capital project under my watch, and I'm really proud of that. But once again, that was an academic component before my time. But obviously, what Terry and Kim Pagula and many other donors did to get our ice hockey programs up off the ground from a varsity standpoint. By the time we get through with this phase, and then there's one more small phase. With Lash, we will have put $100 million into Lash in the last 8-plus years. Mm-hmm. And obviously we've got a renovation or address the needs at Beaver Stadium coming up. And then certainly aquatics and tennis and soccer and you name it. We've done a lot of good things from a facility. We've started to get some momentum from a facility standpoint, but a lot of work to do.
Obviously, in the middle of this master plan, there's a pandemic. All right, so that's going to obviously knock a lot of things temporarily to the side as you've been able to keep the economic engine going during a pandemic, and now obviously it's getting back on track. But when it comes to Beaver Stadium, how important at least has been the groundwork with Populous Men to allow whomever has to make this decision down the line to at least know what options that they do have based on the groundwork that's already been done?
Yeah, well, Steve, that's exactly it. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot we could do during that time, so it did give us the opportunity to lay the groundwork, make sure that we'd done all the proper studies to know what it was that was going to be important to our fan base, what they were looking for, what's important to them, and then how we might address those things, and then what that might cost. As a matter of fact, I just ran into Scott Radisek from Populous in the hallway. He told me to tell you hello.
Oh, good.
Great.
It's always Scott's the best.
Yeah, and so you know we're not quite finished yet, but we're getting to the end of that work that will enable us as Dr. Bindapudi as she takes over as president they'll have the information they need to start making some decisions about how to address the needs and the gaps.
Obviously, being a Big Ten program means there will be Big Ten television dollars, and the contract is being negotiated now. I talked earlier about what John Oran reported about Fox, but that's his reporting from Sports Business Journal. It sounds like they're on some sort of track here to get this done sooner rather than later. What does it mean for the financial well-being of athletic departments in the Big Ten to have that number established as early as it's going to be established?
Well, you know, we all operate on forecasts. You know, some of us use 5 years, some of us use 10 years, mm-hmm. And obviously, the further out a plan goes, the less reliable it is. But it's also smart to continually be doing the forecasting. So, I mean, that's the beauty of television. whether it's television revenue, I should say, you know, whether it's a 6-year deal or it's a 9-year deal or it's a 12-year deal, it's a 4, whatever it is,
right.
You know, you can lock it in. It used to be that at this level with schools, Big Ten schools, schools that have the kinds of fan bases that we do, the size of a Beaver Stadium, that ticket revenue was our number one source of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's television now.
Yep.
And all of the revenue is important, and you bet our football ticket revenue, our basketball ticket revenue, our wrestling ticket revenue, our hockey ticket revenue is all very important to us. But when you look at our chart of accounts and you look at where we are from a revenue standpoint, it's our television revenue that's at the top of that list.
Yeah, no question. And the SEC and the Big Ten are in good stead with that coming up, because the SEC set, the Big Ten's about to be set.
Yes, and the Big Ten and the SEC we're very fortunate, Steve, to be members of the Big Ten. As I am where I am in my career now, I think about starting my career in the Big Ten at Northwestern, and getting to finish my career here at Penn State. The SEC and the Big Ten have really set themselves apart from a television revenue
yes.
standpoint, and then everything that means, what that means we're able to do for our programs, for our student athletes. The Big Ten set the record in the last one, and the SEC got a new deal and set the record, and we're going to set it again.
Yep. All right. So from a point you took a job like this, and I don't mean just Penn State, but being an athletic director, what's the same about the job now compared to the first time you were being an athletic director, and what has really changed about the job?
you may not like my answer here. what is the same is students.
Yeah.
That our why, our purpose, and our focus needs to be on students, their well-being, their experience, and providing them with every resource that we possibly can for them to be successful. So what is the same is students.
Yeah.
What is different is students.
Yeah, right. I know exactly. I know where you're going here. So
that's... Yeah. They're different. Their needs are different. Their desires are different. And I'm not just talking about Penn State. Again, you said it. It's this is what my athletic director peers and I talk about. All the time. This is why we've ended up with NIL. It's why we are where we are with transfers. I do not blame this whole thing on the transfer portal. I don't think the portal is the problem. Portal doesn't help, but it's just a vehicle. The issue is the free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And lest we not forget, that when I was coaching in the dark ages, in the early 80s, everybody had to serve a year in residence, whether you played field hockey or you played football.
Right.
And then somewhere along the way,
yep.
the powers to be decided that field hockey and tennis and golf and swimming shouldn't have to sit out, but that basketball and football and men's hockey and baseball did have to sit out. And then we got to 2020, and that was indefensible.
Yeah.
And I think we can all understand that. And the NIL piece, look, you and I have talked about this.
Yes.
I am 100% supportive of our student athletes having the opportunity to monetize their name, image, and likeness like any other student on this campus.
Right.
What I don't like is how it's been weaponized in recruiting.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's well said. I'll wrap with this. We will celebrate 50 years of Title IX in June. What kind of progress, in your opinion, has been made in 50 years?
And then what needs to happen, in your opinion, the next 50 to really make it worthwhile for everybody across the board in terms of not just awareness but opportunity?
Yeah. So, you know, having I owe my career to Title IX. I owe a career to my dad and his sharing of his passion for sport with me.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't have the opportunity to be the AD at Tulane or University of California, Berkeley, or Penn State without Title IX. There's no doubt about it. And you know, I think back to the things that the opportunities that I had as a student athlete at Wake Forest in the late 70s and early 80s, and I look at our student athletes, our female student athletes here today, and it's light years. It's light years different, and I'm so excited for them and grateful to have been a part of that. And yet, I know we're not there yet.
Right.
I do happen to think that our biggest gap is between our revenue sports and our non-revenue sports, regardless of gender.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have some gender gaps. For sure, and I think two things have to happen. I think secondary education and higher ed college campuses need to get serious about treating all students equitably,
mm-hmm.
all programs equitably, because
yeah.
I don't think. You know, this is like NCAA enforcement. You know, they're OCR doesn't have enough. They can't be everywhere.
Right.
You know, so I don't think we can wholeheartedly. I don't think we can holistically count on enforcement. Although I do think enforcement needs to get better. But I think there needs to be a call on college presidents. To be looking specifically at college athletics, but again, this is about secondary. This is at every level, right? And to you know, to be serious about equity.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Appreciate the time as always.
Always great to be with you, Steve. Love it. I'll come back every time you invite me, and always enjoy being together.
Same here. Thank you, Sandy.
All right, Steve. Take care.
Sandy Barber, Penn State's Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics. We will come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. You want new inventory? They've got it. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. Well, not only a great selection, but they all come with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They've gone over each and every one of them. Great service department, routine, inspections, diagnostics. They handle it all. It's really one-stop vehicle shopping at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Sometimes an athlete will go under the radar based in part because of the sport that they're playing at the time. Penn State baseball is playing Mount St. Mary's this evening over at Medler Field, Lebrano Park. Catcher Matt Wood is having himself one heck of a season. When we had Rob Cooper on the show, I want to say 6-7 weeks ago, he brought up Matt Wood, and it'd be time just a quick follow-up on what he's done. He's played in 32 games this year. He is hitting .412. He's got 6 home runs. He's knocked in 28. He's got 8 doubles, a couple of triples. .482 on base percentage. And has really put together one heck of a season. 6 home runs, 28 knocked in, a .675 slugging percentage, and hitting .412. My goodness, the Phillies could use a guy like Matt Wood.
That's for sure.
It's just The Brewers beat the Pirates 4-2. Major upset there. The Pirates scored. Okay. What?
Now, you know what? I have friends that are Pirates fans, and I feel for them. It's got to be. I mean, it's been a frustrating, what, 20 years almost?
They made the playoffs 3 times in a row in 13, 14, 15. That's the only time they've done it since 1992.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. 30, overall, yeah.
30 years.
Yeah.
27 out of 30 years. I mean, it's if you're a Pirate fan, it just feels like you just back in your chair and the water is dripping on your forehead 15 seconds at a time. Jeez.
You know, my aunt lives in Pittsburgh, and when they built PNC Park, I said to her, why in the world would they build a small park? She said, have you been to a Pirates game lately? At least we could have a sellout.
But no, it's what the Phillies did.
Well, yeah, yeah.
The Phillies ballpark is only has only 4,000 to 5,000 more seats than the Pirates do. That's it. That's because, and you'll see with the new Buffalo Bills stadium that the state of New York is putting $850 million into it. The Pagulas are putting their share in, and then plus the NFL's giving something as well. The stadium they play in now, I have no idea what it's called now. Is it Highmark Stadium? Something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Seats 75,000 to 80,000. Their new stadium, they're going to build 60,000. That is going to be, in my opinion, the trend moving forward, and it's a trend I talked about years ago, that with the proliferation of the big screen TV with high-def television, that you are going to see ballparks that are not mammoth. You're going to see stadiums that in all likelihood are not mammoth, Los Angeles aside. You're going to see a lot of NFL stadiums in that 60 to 65,000 range. You're going to see ballparks built in the 35 to 45 range. You know, the days, for example, of a Dodger stadium beating 56,000, if they ever build another Dodger stadium, it's not going to be 56,000. You're going to see probably in the 40s like everybody else. The Pirates of the upper 30s. You want to be able to sell seats, make sure they're at a premium so there's some value to it. So you're not going to overbuild it where everybody can sit around and go, yeah, I can sit in the bleachers. There's nobody out there. I can just spend $5. We're good.
I can understand it for a baseball stadium. I don't know if I could understand a smaller football stadium, though. You don't have as many opportunities in football to have a home game. So wouldn't you want as many people as you could pack in?
Well, it depends. If it's college football, fine. Pro football, not so much.
Really?
College? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pro football? Have you seen the overhead shots of pro football?
I don't think I took notice, really.
They are, there are not as many sellouts in the NFL as you think. Philadelphia sells out. New England sells out. The Steelers did not sell out this year.
No, there were a couple of games I know they didn't.
I mean, they've had the Steelers for the first time, the Steelers had a problem with no-shows. And I'm talking 10, 15,000 no-shows. I have friends that were going. They said, you'd be shocked how many empty seats there are. Another issue you have in the NFL right now, it's epidemic in a lot of places. It's not in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. It's not there. But people are selling their seats to the opposing team's fans.
Well, I think that happens a lot in college, too.
Well, the one that I think shocked everybody was when Nebraska played at Notre Dame. And I don't think the Notre Dame fans expected this. People, you know, some Notre Dame fans sold their seats, and they didn't think twice about it. Well, it turned out like everybody was selling their seats. And there were 25 to 30,000 6,000 Nebraska fans in Notre Dame Stadium. You will get some selling of seats here, but it's not as prolific as it used to be. You know, I mean, I'll look down for a big game. Penn State's playing Michigan, and I'll see some Michigan fans at the 50-yard line. I saw a lot more 15 years ago. I'll see some Ohio State fans at the 50-yard line. But I saw a lot more 15 years ago. More and more Penn State fans have been keeping their seats. Or else if they're selling them, they're selling to other Penn State fans.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to say is I think the ones that are selling to Penn State fans.
Right. I think that you're seeing more of that. You're seeing more of that. But
I think the NFL's big problem right now is they're starting to, the average fan is going to have a heck of a time going to an NFL game more than once a year. They're outpricing their market.
Yeah, they're outpricing their market in a lot of ways, and they don't need to. They have TV contracts that are beyond words. Why do you need to outprice tickets? I mean, seriously. I mean, you've got TV money. You have stacked so many years of TV money. Do you need to even? I mean, if you're an NFL team, you should be dropping ticket prices. As a goodwill gesture to your fans, you should drop TV prices. You know, you're getting an increase in the TV revenue. You don't have to drop TV your ticket prices, so you're balancing the budget. But you can drop them some where you're getting an increase in your overall revenue. Be amazed what that would do just for the image of what you're doing. I don't know.
And there's a lot of folks that'll say, well, I don't need to go to a game. I get better views from the television coverage. And that's true, but I'm an experienced kind of guy. I go for the overall experience of being at the ballpark or being at a football game that you don't have when you're watching it on television.
Well, I think that you've got to be able to, and I've talked about this many times, so I'll hit it again. You need to make the stadium experience better.
Right.
All right. You already have the ambiance of being there. You already have the ambiance of being there, which is great. And you know, and it's when you look up, like, for example, my complaint for years was about replays up on the board. Show all the replays up on the board. Who cares? I mean, you're not there to protect the officials. You know, show everybody the plays. Basketball. Okay? The referee should be mic'd and tell everybody what they're reviewing, why they're reviewing it, and what the result was, instead of reviewing it and going over and telling the TV guys.
That's something new in baseball that I think was a good addition when they actually explain what is being challenged now.
Well, that's why when baseball did it, I praised it right away. Praised it right away that they did that. And I said, look, this is great that they're doing it, because this is what college basketball should be doing. Everybody across the board should do it. You should never take away from the experience of being in the building. You should never give the advantage to the TV. In other words, it's okay to be even with TV, right? It's okay to be even where everybody finds out at once, because if you're miking up the official at a basketball game, it's also being announced on TV at the same time. But the TV person should not be sitting there knowing what they're reviewing, what the result is, and then they explain on TV, and it's barely explained in the arena. Like, well, what are you doing? The person that went to the arena put all the effort in. They put all the effort in. They made the trip in. They bought the gas. They paid for the parking. They paid for the tickets. They should have the advantages. You don't want anybody saying, other than the, hey, the game's over and I don't have to travel back. I've got my feet up. It's nice and warm. I got logs on the fire. It's all great. I understand all that. I understand that. But you have got to be able to make the, you know, and I feel like in stadium, I'm talking about everywhere, for some reason, this is where, especially in college sports, they've screwed up. Even pro sports. Now, the NBA has made the change where they've got the ability, where they have the microphone, they do announce in the NBA now that they're looking at it and then announce the result of it. So now they have that in the NBA. They started that in the bubble. It took until 2020 to do that? In baseball? You've had replay. Finally, in 2022, you've got the umpire mic. I mean, I'm glad they're doing it now. College basketball still didn't have that. That's ridiculous. Also, the fact, college football, they should put mics in the helmets for the quarterbacks. They shouldn't be signaling stuff in and putting cards up and things like that. Come on. You got to be kidding me. Big Ten's about to put together a TV deal that's going to be $75 to $80 million. For goodness sakes. Put mics in the helmets.
If the catcher can sit there on his arm and punch in the pitch he wants and have the pitcher hear it in his hat with a little earpiece, you should be able to do that at that level, at the college level. You're right.
Like, come on. Really? I mean, in the pros, right? You can sit there as the offensive coordinator. So Matt Canada can talk to Mitchell Trubisky and tell him up until 15 seconds on the play clock, whatever he wants to tell him. In college, you got a signal. You got four guys over there. Three are dummy. One's real. It's really? Each school is going to end up maybe between 75 and 80 million when this whole thing is done with. You can't take some pennies and put receivers in the helmets. Come on. And I'm talking about the quarterback helmets.
Well, I'd be fine if the defensive captain had one too. I mean, if you want to say that one side should have the other, then fine, mate. Let the middle linebacker, whoever the defensive captain is, have one too. That wouldn't bother me.
And I've got that in the NFL,
right?
Just come on, just do it. Right, college basketball, mic the ref up. That way, you can tell everybody in the arena what's going on. You got to make the experience across the board better. You have to. If you're going to spend money on gas, spend money on food, spend money on concessions, drive in, spend money on a parking space, spend money on your tickets or your seat license, whatever it may be, the donation you had to make, that person, that group of individuals deserve more than what TV's giving them. Not less, more. And they've got the blue band during commercials, which makes it even better.
There's only one thing, though, in your whole thing. Your example with Canada, he doesn't really need to be able to talk to Trubisky because he knows everybody in the stadium knows it's going to be a wide receiver reverse. So, that's really not needed in that case.
If you want, I can go to Brewer's Outlet. We can get some cheese to go with your wine. All right, we'll
if it's
come
inside
back.
The 10, it's going to a wide receiver on a running play.
Oh, it's going to be another long year for you. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hanging with Mom is kind of nice. Giant Direct, I owe you one. We used to spend like literally hours at the grocery store. But with Giant Direct, we just order our groceries online. And now pickup's free. Mom is obsessed. Best thing is, I don't have to watch her find the perfect tomato or whatever. Giant picks them out better than she does for the same price. Now I have more time to help Mom with her dance moves. So awkward. Giant, for today's table.
Now get free pickup on any size order with Giant Direct.
Hi, this is Dave Moyer for the Benjamin T. Moyer Furniture Store in Sunbury. I'm sure you're as excited as I am that spring has finally arrived. Did you know that we have the area's best selection of American-made outdoor furniture? We have aluminum patio dining sets, spring-based chairs, umbrellas, full-cushion outdoor wicker sofas, and Adirondack chairs. We are proud to feature quality American-made furniture, such as Lloyd Flanders wicker, made in Menominee, Michigan, Telescope Casual's aluminum sling chairs, made in Grandview, New York, and Brizesta, a line of poly lumber outdoor furniture made in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Stop in this April to see our display. Every item on our display floor is available for immediate sale and delivery. For 87 years, you've trusted our quality furniture for the inside of your home. Now you can get that same great quality found only at Moyer's for outside your home. Please visit the Benjamin T. Moyer Furniture Store, 35 South 4th Street in Sunbury, or on the web at moyersfurniture.com.
All right, Chad, what have we got?
Hey, Drew, what's up? Lisa and I are here recording.
Oh, perfect timing. I wanted to update you on my mousetrap collection.
Mousetrap collection?
It was an old ad. Drew, nobody cares, and we're busy.
Ow! 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 Ow!
Yeah, dude, that had to hurt.
Guys, we're losing focus. If you'd like to learn more about buying and selling real estate, contact me, Lisa Barrick, at CaldwellBankerPen1.com.
If you were lied to when buying a timeshare and worn out, you need my help. Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started the timeshare cancellation industry by exposing the ugly truth about timeshare and giving folks the straight facts. I've been fighting the timeshare giants ever since, so no one knows this industry better than me and my team. Today, we have 383 employees and have saved our clients an average of $65,000 in lifetime payments. Imagine putting those timeshare dollars back in your pocket. If you were told at a timeshare presentation that this was available today and today only, that timeshare was a great investment, or your maintenance fees will never go up, call my office now. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-687-7979. 800-687-7979. 800-687-7979.
I have only seen the opening episode of the HBO series Showtime, or Winning Time, I think it's called Winning Time. And when I watched it, I only saw the opening episode. I was like, why is Jerry West portrayed that way? I said, everything I've known about Jerry West from either people I, you know, have known over the years or whatever, I said, it's not, sounds like, doesn't sound like the guy I've been told about. Well, he is now asking the producers of Winning Time to stop portraying him falsely. And many others are coming forward saying, no, that's, you ought to, like, that's not who Jerry West is. I guess I remember specifically a scene early where Jerry West was the MVP of the 69 playoffs, but the Lakers lost to the Celtics. Now, remember, Jerry West and the Lakers did win in 72, so he does have a championship ring as a player. And it shows him taking his MVP trophy from the finals and throwing it through a window at the Forum in Inglewood. And people will tell you, like, number one, he never threw a trophy. Number two, there was no window in his office. Yeah, so you're sitting there like, okay. And he wasn't like, they say he wasn't like that. Wasn't raging and, I realize there's artistic license. I do understand that. But sometimes it goes too far. Now, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is also portrayed in that as being salty, and people will tell you that, yeah, that is one of, always was one of his problems. Magic was always a guy, Magic was always somebody that went out of his way to be nice to as many people as possible because he had the idea that maybe down the road, who knows? And now you see Magic Johnson, the entrepreneur, with his hand in about maybe, I don't know, 40 to 50 different businesses. And I guess Kareem came up to him a few years ago and said, you know, what can I do? And he said, Magic basically told him, he said, Kareem, what you should have done about it was actually years ago and not now.